Good morning and welcome to Q95's Morning News for today, Wednesday, 12th May 2015. I am your presenter, Angelo Allen. This morning's news is brought to you through the kind compliments of Rudolph Thomas Enterprise. In the headlines, a town hall meeting for Salisbury, like it or not. Guyana awaits election results. And an Amtrak train bound to New York City derails in Pennsylvania. Details are coming up next.
Rudolph Thomas Enterprise in Portsmouth, your suppliers of building materials and hardware products. Over 20 years experience in the business. Rudolph Thomas has lumber and plywood, Portland and tile cement, steel rods, galvanized and fence pipe. And Rudolph Thomas can meet all your wire needs. Galvanized roofing sheets, doors, windows, toilet sets, face basins and bidets. PVC piping, fittings and lattice. Check out Rudolph Thomas for ceramic and vinyl floor and wall tiles, nails, nuts and bolts, paint and painting supplies. And check out their line of electrical and hand tools. And Rudolph Thomas is your one-stop shop for hard-to-find items like fiberglass mat and fiberglass resin and welding rods. Go now to Rudolph Thomas on 1240 Bay Street in Portsmouth.
Welcome back. Good morning to you, Dominica. We begin our news this morning with a special report on two major matters of public concern and the current position of Dominica's Prime Minister, whose actions on both matters have been digested by the public at large with little or no confidence. Prime Minister Roosevelt Skerritt says he will be conducting a town hall meeting in the Salisbury community to discuss agricultural concerns, whether they want it or not. His remarks came on the heels of protest action on Monday when farmers and residents blocked the Eo Libla Highway, saying the government has neglected roads in their area for too long. The Prime Minister said government is not opposed to anybody expressing their concerns, but Skerritt says it must be done in a lawful manner. He also said that government ministers cannot go and address the demonstrators directly, as was being demanded by protesters on Monday. According to Skerritt, this is tantamount to the police coming to a marijuana plantation and the cultivators of marijuana saying that they want to see the Minister of National Security before they can give up the marijuana to the police. It cannot be done, says the Prime Minister. The Prime Minister said the suggestion was made to the demonstrators that both the Ministers of Public Works and Agriculture, along with their senior staff, were prepared to meet with them anytime on Monday. He says he was prepared to meet with them on Tuesday at 2 p.m., and following which a date would be set for a town hall meeting in the community. In discussing the matter on DNO, one contributor to the remarks section said this, and I quote, Are you for real, Mr. Prime Minister? Let me juggle your memory in case you are accused of having memoir pool, and take you back to recent protests. 1, Kalibishi roadblock. 2, Carib Territory roadblock. 3, Kulibistri roadblock. 4, the Layu Road roadblock. All under the Dominica Labour Party's watch. And before that, says the writer, the Colihoe roadblock. At every instance, says the writer, ministers of your government came and addressed the protesters right there on the spot. It is totally downright hypocritical and disgraceful for you and the ministers of national security to dismiss as nonsensical the request from the parliamentary representative and the people of Salisbury that they be addressed by someone in the ministry or a minister of government. And, the writer continued, to add to your disrespectful comment, whether they like it or not, and this is foolish, this foolish marijuana talk, the farmers of Salisbury and indeed Dominica are not criminals. Please don't treat them as such. And we found it rather interesting. But Prime Minister Roosevelt's Skerrit has also announced that a group of Chinese people are in Dominica looking to invest in several projects on, projects on island. The Prime Minister used the occasion to announce that groundbreaking for the new much-talked-about Chinese-funded Princess Margaret Hospital will take place in July. Speaking at a press conference on Tuesday, Skerrit said nothing can be done to fix the old Princess Margaret Hospital. He said, "It is a facility that has outlived its purpose," and so forth. "It is run down. It is not a place where we should, in the second decade of the 21st century, be providing the highest level of care insofar as health services is concerned." The Prime Minister noted that the Chinese have presented his government with an excellent concept for the new facility. According to the Prime Minister, the Chinese government has indicated to us that they are prepared to break ground for the new hospital in July of this year. The Prime Minister said further, "The clear mandate to the Minister of Health is that the government must do everything possible on its side. The Chinese are ready. The Chinese people are ready. We must do everything on our side to ensure that we do all that we have to do to break ground in July." Skerrit stated that the new Princess Margaret Hospital is a noble gift to Dominica by the Chinese government. During the campaign for general election last year, it was said that construction on the new hospital would begin in the first quarter of 2015. In January of 2015, Health Minister Kenneth Daru said, "New information, new points of view and ideas about the hospital had surfaced, and a site for the facility was yet to be determined." He said a decision on the new site would be determined very soon, and within the next few weeks, the nation would be informed. It was subsequently revealed that the facility will be constructed in Goodwill. Back in 2010, then Health Minister Julius Timothy announced that the groundbreaking ceremony for the hospital is in the Roseau North constituency. "It will be there," he said, "and it is coming soon." That same year, 2010, Prime Minister Roosevelt Skerrit said, "Warner should be considered as a possible location for the hospital." 2 years later, in 2012, Timothy, as Minister of Health, said the existing Princess Margaret Hospital would soon be revamped and the country will have a relatively new hospital early next year, 2013. In 2013, Prime Minister Skerrit said the new hospital was among projects to be undertaken that year, 2013, through gratuitous aid and concessionary financing from the government of the People's Republic of China. At that time, Mr. Skerrit mentioned that they were unfolding the designs of the hospital. In other news, the first ever Girardelle Eglinton Flower Festival has been dubbed a success by organizers. The event took place between May 8th to 10th, 2015. Cesar Cartin, one of the organizers of the Flower Festival, said, although the event was affected by strong winds, support from the community was good. Cartin says, Saturday and Sunday night, we had a very large turnout. It is our first time and it was good. He stated further that the future flower festivals organizers plan to have more promotions leading to the main event at an earlier date. According to Cartin, we need to make the Giro del Eglinton Flower Festival a big event for both communities. President of the Giro del Eglinton Flowers Group, Stephanie Royer, said, the group thought it was best to postpone the annual flower show until further notice because, she said, we had no choice but to protect the members of the flower group. According to her, the collaboration will not only benefit the Giro del Eglinton community, but Dominica on a whole. Parliamentary representative for Rosa Central constituency, Joseph Isaac, and the Rosa Sports and Cultural Connection are joining forces to get rid of the stench in Rosa and flushing out clogged drains. The project, dubbed the Clean and Green City Cleanup Project, is expected to begin on Sunday, May 17, 2015. Isaac says the project will begin from the bank of the river, that's the bank of the Rosa River, and work itself into the city. Isaac said further that a survey was conducted recently and it was revealed that many non-perishable items are blocking the drains in Roseau. The local MP says, with the approaching hurricane season, that he intended to tackle that problem. He remarked that in order to get the project going, organizers have decided to collaborate with different institutions and private sectors, and as such, have written to Prime Minister Roosevelt Skerrit, opposition leader Lennox Linton, Dominica Solid Waste Management Corporation, the Roseau City Council, Environmental Health, Dominica Air and Seaport Authority, Dominica Water and Sewage Company, Fire Department, and some private sector institutions to inform them of their plans and request their assistance. The Roseau MP said it is expected to be an ongoing activity and they will be making use of disinfectants, chlorine and the like, to clean up the city. The project will begin from 6:30 a.m. on Sunday, May 17th. Well, everything's relatively quiet now in the West Coast community of Salisbury as things try to move back to normal 1 or 2 days after the unarmed community was invaded by ground and naval forces armed with combat fatigues and battlefield weaponry systems. Those weapons included U.S. battlefield weapon, the M16 rifle, and British battlefield weapon, the SLR, known as the self-loading rifle. The arsenal included tear gas cylinders and rubber bullets. The invading forces were classified as different branches of the Dominica Police Force, operating under instructions of the Prime Minister of Dominica, Mr. Roosevelt Skerrit, who declared the people's protest illegal. It is still being investigated whether foreign members of the ALBA forces participated in the military exercise. On Monday, farmers and residents of the small western community blocked the E.O. LeBlanc Highway, claiming that government has neglected their community and its roads, including farm access roads, which are in a deplorable condition. Police eventually used tear gas and pellets to disperse protesters, and the road was eventually cleared forcibly. Several farmers and other members of the community on Tuesday say the protest action was justified. The farmer who preferred to remain anonymous, that's one farmer who preferred to remain anonymous, said she is proud of her community for what she calls a fight for the rights of farmers of Dominica. She noted that for 15 years, Salisbury has suffered under the rule of Dominica Labour Party and is inviting Dominicans to come and see for themselves what residents of Salisbury are protesting about. From Guyana, Guyana went to the polls on Monday to choose a president and new parliament, but up to 7 p.m. on Tuesday, the Guyana Election Commission was yet to declare a winner. So far, there have been conflicting reports by the main parties, the APNU, AFC, and the PPP, each claiming victory, which have ignited an already agitated public. Anger is growing in the country, as GCOM did the same during the last election. That's the people who are responsible for elections in Guyana, did the same thing in the elections of 2011, taking up to 4 days to report the results. All political parties and the international communities are pleading with the people to remain calm. The APNU-AFC coalition is claiming victory and said it is doing so to avert violence and to share with the public information that they are privy to. From Port-au-Prince, Haiti, Haiti's President Michel Martelly and his visiting French counterpart François Hollande on Tuesday planned to discuss, among other things, the issue of the French moral debt towards the Caribbean country. Haiti became the first black independent republic in the world after defeating more than 211 years ago the army of the then French monarchy. The French later imposed a heavy independence debt on the former colony. The Haitian communications minister, Rothschild Francois Jr., said Martelly and Holland would discuss about measures to strengthen cooperation between the two countries in different fields. The Haitian president said negotiations should be done in the context of the recognized French moral debt towards Haiti. From Havana, Cuba, French President Francois Hollande wound up what he considered a historic visit to Cuba, during which he held meetings with Cuba's former leader, Fidel Castro, and with President Raul Castro. Fidel Castro thanked the French head of state for having visited the Caribbean nation as the two of them addressed issues relevant to the international scenario. After the meeting on Monday, Raul Castro officially welcomed Holland, and the two men held talks on the positive bilateral relations between Paris and Havana in the spirit of further developing such links in different sectors. Holland also delivered a keynote lecture at the University of Havana in which he stressed the ongoing process towards the normalization of relations between the United States and Cuba. From Antigua, customers traveling to and from both countries are advised of the possibility of canceled flights and delayed baggage. That's Dominica and St. Vincent. The carrier's aircraft have tailwind limitations, which are set by the manufacturers during the certification process, and they are therefore not permitted to take off or land when the prevailing winds are beyond these limits. The departure out of E.T. Joshua Airport and the night landings into Douglas Charles Airport are affected by tailwinds, and therefore the decision to cancel flights is taken in the interest of safety. LIAT is also forced to restrict the number of bags on the aircraft at this time of year when wind conditions in both Dominica and St. Vincent restrict the takeoff weight of the aircraft. Meanwhile, on Tuesday, LIAT said it has taken note of comments made by a talk show host on the Voice of Barbados radio regarding the recent advisory about high winds in Dominica and St. Vincent. Head of Corporate Communications Desmond Brown said LIAT's number one priority is to run a safe and reliable operation throughout its network. From Philadelphia, USA, an Amtrak train bound for New York City derailed north of Philadelphia on Tuesday, killing at least 5 people and injuring more than 50 others. At least 65 people were taken to hospitals for treatment, and 6 suffered critical injuries, officials said. The Amtrak Regional 188 was traveling to New York from Washington, D.C. and carrying approximately 238 passengers and five crew members when the train derailed at about 9:30 p.m. on Tuesday night. Philadelphia's Mayor Michael Nutter told reporters after visiting the scene of the crash, "It is an absolute disastrous mess. Never seen anything like this in my life," he said. A major earthquake has struck eastern Nepal near Mount Everest 2 weeks after more than 8,000 people died there in a devastating quake. At least 48 people have been killed and more than 1,000 injured, officials say. At least 17 have also died in India. The latest earthquake hit near the town of Namchi Bazar and sent thousands of panicked residents on the streets of Nepal's capital, Kathmandu. It had a magnitude of 7.3 compared with the 7.8 earthquake on the 25th of April. The latest quake struck at 0650 hours GMT and was centered about 47 miles east of Kathmandu. From North Korea, Hyung Young Chol, who heads the isolated country's military as Minister of Defense, was purged and then executed yesterday, Tuesday, by firing squad with an anti-aircraft gun watched by hundreds of people. The defense minister, who spoke at a security conference in Moscow last month, as in April, was said to have shown disrespect to the president of North Korea, Kim Jong-un, by dozing off at a military event. The execution comes after South Korea's spy agency said late last month that Kim ordered the execution of 15 senior officials this year as punishment for challenging his authority. Doctors in the UK, that's doctors leaders in the UK, have launched a major campaign to stop medics over-treating their patients in ways that do not help and could even harm them. Writing in the British Medical Journal, the leaders suggest that some patients are given pills or have tests that they do not need by doctors who feel under pressure to act. They argue that patients should feel able to discuss whether there are simpler, safer options that are right for them. But experts warn they must not change treatment without medical advice. The Academy of Medical Royal Colleges says there's growing evidence that pressure for doctors to do something at each consultation has led to patients sometimes receiving treatments that are of little or no value to them. And the report suggests a culture of more is better means some individual being overdiagnosed, labeled with conditions that may in the end do them harm. Launching the Choosing Wisely campaign, experts are calling on key medical organizations to identify five interventions each that should not be offered routinely or, in some cases, not at all. Did they say that the Minister of Defense in North Korea was shot by an anti-aircraft weapon because he was dozing off at a meeting last month? Let's take a look at the headlines once again. A town hall meeting for Salisbury, like it or not. Guyana awaits elections results. And an Amtrak train bound for New York City derails in Philadelphia. The news is brought to you to the kind compliments of Rudolph Thomas Enterprise. I am Angela Allen.